The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Parky, we're back for another final heater on loverbilly.com and Radio General. Talking rugby league, what more can we ask for?
Oh, I'll tell you what, it's always a great position to be in, isn't it? I always enjoy our little chats and where we look at the world of rugby league and what's been going on.
What's been going on then?
Well, we've got a pretty packed show, haven't we, coming up? Because we're going to hear from Neil Dukes. We're going to hear from Sean Wayne. We're going to hear as well from George Williams. And... Well, I'm sure that we've got a couple of other people as well, haven't we, that I haven't mentioned.
Right, before we talk Super League and League One and Championship, shall we? Shall we talk the Challenge Cup?
Yeah,
shall we do that?
In our last show, we only gave like the fixtures, didn't we?
We did.
So we need to concentrate a bit more on it.
We're up to round four already.
I know, it's soon flown by, hasn't it?
But before we talk about round four, let's talk about round three. Results.
Okay.
You've not got the results, have you? All right, then. In round three, there was...
Not in front of me.
No, okay, then. London Scholars defeated Hemel Stags 22-12. University of Gloucestershire Argos defeated North Wales Crusaders 36-18. Barrow defeated Rochdale Mayfield 60-6. Doncaster seeing off Mayton Warriors 34-6. York defeated Egmont Rangers 48-8. Oxford took off of the South Wales Iron Men, defeating them 18-4. Hunslet defeated Coventry Birds 34-0. Siddle had a big day out against Toronto, but Toronto just about got over the winning line 14-6, didn't they? Whitehaven had a close run thing against West Holt, but coming out on top 18-16. Frankston Warriors had a tasty game against Keighley. We won't go into anything that happened after it, but anyway, they lost the game 50-32. Newcastle seeing off Workington 18-16, and Haydock made it into round four by defeating West Warriors 26-12. And we're joined by Haydock's captain, Jordan Gibson. Hey, Jordan, you okay?
Hi, mate. Yeah, fine, thanks.
How's it feel to be in the fourth round of the Challenge Cup?
Yeah, it's a bit surreal, really. I don't think no one expected us to get this far. We're shocked ourselves, really. And I think the publicity we're getting in the minute is superb.
History makers, weren't we, been told?
Yeah, history makers, the first team to achieve this, what we've done. Like I said, the publicity, what we're getting is superb. We're getting support from all teams around the country.
And you've done it as well, Jordan, through putting in the hard yards. I mean, first round up at Wathbrow, the third round down to London as well. Just tell us a little bit about those two outings and basically how you've got to where you've got now.
Yeah, we've not done it easy, I don't think. Like you said, first round went up to Wathbrow, top national conference team. We slugged it out early doors there, early 30 minutes, and come away with a tough win up there. It was a bit similar down London against West Warriors. Started off tough, the big physical side down there, and then our rugby prevailed in the end, come away with a tough win there again.
And you've also beaten Thornhill as well, who have been heavily fancied in the National League too, haven't you?
Yeah, well, Thornhill obviously last year was National Cup winners, so that speaks for itself, really. So, another shot win, but a good win there as well.
So, what's gone so right at Haydock then the last 15 months? Because you had a wow of a campaign last year where you lifted the league championship.
Yeah, Dave, I think the main reason I put behind it is that I think the team, the togetherness in the team, we're all really good mates on and off the field. So, I think that really spurs us on to work hard for each other, I think.
You're not just flying the flag for the amateur game, but you're flying the flag for the North West counties as well.
Yeah, obviously, we're the only team left in it now down here. So, like I said, the support we've got from those teams is respect to them. But yeah, we're flying the flag for us all now, so long may it continue.
Just looking at the game, Oldham, what are you expecting?
Yeah, Oldham are a really good side, and we'll show them the respect they deserve, but not too much, I think. I think we've got to match them early doors, and then anything can happen. I think that's the magic of the Challenge Cup.
I think it's interesting as well, to be honest, Jordan, because you're coming up against the big giant killers from last year, because obviously they had a really good run themselves, didn't they, Oldham, where they knocked out Hull Kingston Rovers.
Yeah, they had a great win last year against Hull KR. But like you say, on the day it's 17-17. I think a big advantage, really. I don't think they'll have much of an idea about us or our players. I think that's a big advantage for us. We could be dangerous there.
And it must be great as well, the fact that you've been picked out as the BBC pick, haven't you, for being broadcast on the internet as well?
Yeah, that's massive for us. Obviously, a small club like A-Dot, getting achievements like that, it's a massive thing. And be good to see how many people tune in to view it.
For a lot of people that don't know, hey Doc, it's based in St. Helens, by the way. Has there been much interest around St. Helens, around the game?
Yeah, absolutely massive interest. All from around St. Helens, really. I know all the lads have been saying you can't even go to the shop now without people pulling you to the side and asking about the game. I think we're going to take a few coaches up there. So bring it on, it should be a really good day.
Has Kieran Cunningham been in touch to maybe give you some big match preparation, some interview, some ideas?
No, we had Sean Long last week. He took a training session on Tuesday last week, which was good. He's mates with Smigier, our coach. So Long, he come down and took the session Tuesday and gives a few points where we should be doing things right. We've got to take that into the game then, and hopefully that'll help us.
I was going to say, Sean Lund knows a thing or two about winning big games, doesn't he?
Just a little bit, doesn't he? Down the years, the amount of Challenge Cup finals and stuff that he's played in, and Super League Grand Finals. I wanted to sort of know from a club point of view, has that increased interest in the club with things like junior teams, and has that fostered a bit more interest for people coming down?
Yeah, I think we've had a massive commitment from the club where people have been getting in touch and things like that. Where they want to get involved in the game now, do you know what I mean? People who obviously have dropped out of the game, and new starters as well, all the way from the kids up into the open age. We're getting new faces wanting to join, which is always good.
And I suppose the publicity that such a cup run gives you is sort of invaluable for that work that gets done at amateur level, isn't it?
Yeah, the work that gets put in, obviously people doing it for nothing, is invaluable, like you said. But you need amateur teams, like, you need those helpers. Without those helpers, amateur teams can't run.
You mentioned that commitment, Jordan. I suppose a game like this is reward for that commitment and time and effort being put in.
Yeah, I think all throughout the club, I think we've earned this, to be honest. All the effort that's been put in from all the backroom staff up into the players, I think we've really earned this game on Saturday.
When the draw was made and Oldham came out the bag, what was the mood like around the clubhouse?
Yeah, we was expecting, was hoping for maybe a Bradford OKR, but when Oldham come out the bag, it's one of those. Oldham, respect to them, are a good team, but I think we maybe fancy our chances against them, so the mood's buzzing really at the minute, and roll on Saturday.
Never mind Bradford or Hull KR, you might get St. Helens in the next round.
Exactly.
Actually, no, with the new format, it's the bottom four, isn't that?
The bottom four, yeah.
Yeah, you could have a trip against your old club then, Lee, couldn't you?
Yeah, that'd be a possibility if you win. That'd be fun to go back there, see a few of the lads.
You mentioned if you win, what would it mean to you guys if you did pull off the shock of the cup competition so far by defeating Championship Oldham?
It'd be absolutely massive. It'd be, I think, beyond our wildest dreams. Up to now, round four, I don't think anyone had guessed us getting to past round one. So to get through to past round four would be a massive achievement for the club.
Great achievement already, and hopefully it'll be a dream day out for you as well.
All right, thanks a lot.
Hey Doc, can you play off the parking?
You never say never, and certainly with Jordan pulling the strings, you know, he's a decent lad, decent player. I think as well with some of the strike players that they've got as well, I think Dean Dolling's down there as well, and I think they'll give Oldham a bit of a run for the money.
You mentioned some of the clubs that he was hoping to have pulled out the bag, but who's played who other than just Oldham and Haydock?
Yeah, well, the other fixtures that are in the Cup are Dewsbury taking on Newcastle Thunder, London Broncos at home to Toronto Wolfpack. That's both of those games taking place on Friday. The Saturday games are Barrow against Keighley, Oldham and Haydock, as we've been talking about, Swinton Lions taking on London Scholars, Batley Bulldogs travelling down to Toulouse, and on Sunday, it's Bradford Bulls against Featherstone Rovers, Doncaster against the in-form Gloucestershire All Golds, Halifax at home to Hunslet, Sheffield Eagles travelling to Hull Kingston Rovers, Oxford on the road to Whitehaven. That's going to be a long journey,
isn't
it?
That's a long journey and a half.
And Rochdale Hornets, they've got the small matter of the York City Knights away.
keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Yeah, it looks like there's going to be some interesting ties in the Challenge Cup as they reach round four on the march to Wembley. Hey, Doc, sounded pretty confident there, Jordan Gibson, that they can actually do a good number on all of them.
Well, I suppose you can't go into a game and think that you're not going to win, to be honest. Otherwise, you're just making up numbers, aren't you? So it is really nice to hear the confidence and hear a bit more about the Hey, Doc club as well, because, like you said, they're one of St Helens' maybe lesser-known amateur clubs.
Yeah, without that. So good luck to Haydock. Hopefully they can beat Oldham. Tie I'm looking forward to is that London Broncos Toronto one.
It's intriguing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Intriguing. I mean, he's got a good 8 or 9 players that played at Lee as Paul Rowley in Toronto. So they know that level of rugby league, don't they?
So it's Toronto Wolfpack made in Lee. Is that what you're saying?
To a certain extent. Okay. So of course, there is other players involved. You know, like Craig Hall, that's also played a lot in Super League, yes, and what have you. But you're right, it is a standout tie of the round. But I suppose another one that I'm looking forward to is that Featherstone Rovers tie against Bradford Bulls. That's going to be a thriller.
Yes, because Bradford, okay, not playing as well as he hoped to, but they are scraping a couple of points off the minus deductions, aren't they? Featherstone seems to be a team in form in the Championship.
Yeah, very much so. They've only lost the one game to the club that we're keeping an eye on, Rochdale Hornets, and that was a thriller minute one as well, as they went down 10 points to 9 the other week. Mm. But yeah, they're doing pretty well at the moment, Featherstone. The key for them is their defence. They've only conceded 83 points in the first 6 games of the season.
Yeah, 22 at the hands of Sheffield last time round in the Championship, but they did rack up 47.
That's right, yeah. And you know, there's that potency amongst the squad. You know, they've still got the likes of Ian Hardman there, they've got Anthony Thackeray pulling the strings.
How old is Thackeray these days?
Oh, well, I thought he was your best mate, so have you not got him on speed dial?
Since he left with them.
Right, okay. I reckon he's
29, 30.
Yeah,
he?
I think he's around that age now.
Still a handful within the Championship.
An excellent player at Championship level, yeah. Really, really good halfback, and he's the key to everything that's going right over at Featherstone at the moment.
It's just a shame when Widnes made him the man to take him into Super League that he never got the chance to be in Super League with the Vikings.
Yeah, it was. It was a real shame, because to be fair, he's not spent that much time in Super League with any club, has he? No. That he's played for, and he's one of those guys similar to your likes of your Liam Finn and your Martin Ridyard, who has done the hard yards and probably deserves his chance.
I thought you were going to say me then.
Well, I don't know about you deserving your chance.
Back in the day,
could you pass both ways? This is what you keep going on at me about.
I couldn't actually. No.
Oh, see, there you go. That's why you never.
I was a bit weak on my right hand side.
That's why you never got picked up then.
Okay.
Sorry to dash those dreams again.
I'll just talk Rugby League on the loverugbyleague.com on the Final Hooter on Radio General as well. Let's talk Championship, shall we, before we focus on Super League. Some intriguing ties played in round 6. Some interesting scorelines, but the one that caught my imagination was that Greater Manchester showdown between Rochdale and Oldham. 26-0. What a game.
What a game indeed, yeah. Oldham had actually opened a 12-point advantage heading into the last 10 minutes, and it ended up with late tries in that one. 2 late tries, and the last one being scored by Ryan Maneely 3 minutes from the end, just to level it up. A great comeback. But to be honest, Rochdale had dominated that in the early stages. I think they went 14-0 up at one point and then saw that lead slip. But yeah, what a comeback. And both those sides doing pretty decent in the Championship, it must be said. But Rochdale Hornets in particular, they don't look out of place at all. Alan Killshaw's gone on record by saying he's got one of the lowest budgets in that division, and he's working wonders with that squad at the moment.
He's doing a good job.
I think he's doing a fantastic job, never mind a good job. They're just outside the top 4 at this moment in time, 3 wins from their opening 6 games and a draw.
Big win for Halifax. That's a relief for Richard Marshall. He's been under a bit of pressure at Halifax, so to come up with a win against London Broncos 19-6 just eases the pressure off a little bit.
Yeah, they've been real up and down, haven't they, over the course of the season so far, Halifax. And I suppose as well, it's a bit of relief, because at the end of last season they weren't travelling too well at all with Halifax, and a surprise result in some respects, because London Broncos have been travelling particularly well. Came up against a very gritty Halifax side for whom Steve Tyra was outstanding, scored 10 points in all, a try and 3 goals. But I think the all important was that drop goal from Moore just near the end, which just gave that bit of breathing space.
Bradford Bulls chopped off another 2 points off their minus deduction by coming up with a big win against Batley.
Yeah, have you seen what's gone viral from this game?
No.
There's a score that comes in from Ryan, the young sort of centre winger.
Okay.
And he does a dovetail dive into the corner. It was a great bit of skill, to be honest. And it had Carl Harrison pairing with delight.
Carl Harrison pairing with delight?
Exactly.
My word.
So it must have been a good bit of skill.
He never shows his emotions.
Really, really. But now he's not
happy emotions anyway.
Now he's not in the coaching game. Every time I've seen him, he's had a big smile on his face.
He's a bit more relaxed.
Very much more relaxed, yeah.
Good to see the Bradford public still supporting the team as well. 4,500 there for that game.
Yeah, very solid. Very solid support. And they're starting to get it together now, aren't they, Bradford? They've won 3 of the first 6 games, so they've halved the deficit which they had in the minus deductions.
They're still getting relegated, though.
Well, at the moment, they still find themselves 6 points adrift of Dewsbury, who just can't seem to score points.
Not happening, is it?
Unfortunately, they come up against a red-hot Hull Kingston Rovers, who beat them 48-6. And even that try, what was scored by Dewsbury, was from a guy who's on dual contract. Keegan Hurst, of course, who moved on to Wakefield from Batley at the end of last season.
He's back at Dewsbury.
Just for the time being, and he scored a try 8 minutes from the end.
Hooky, I'll probably go unbeaten, won't they?
Well, they've had a couple of close shaves. I know it doesn't look
so
that way.
So have I.
Yeah, yeah. So have I once upon a time as well. Okay. But, you know, they're a funny side, aren't they? You know, you would expect them to go through and really dominate that division. But, you know, Rochdale's shown that the gap can be bridged, and they weren't convincing again against London Broncos. So it does show that the top sides in the Championship will test them, but it's a case of whether they can pass those extra tests.
Yeah, obviously all the highlights on Hulkingston Rovers, but everyone will be seeing how Toulouse go, won't they?
And they've made a solid start, haven't they? I mean, again, a team that I enjoy watching at Championship level is Swinton Lions. They score a lot of points under John Duffy. He hasn't played in a real expansive style. I know you saw them a few times last season, and they've just carried on in that sort of style. They're scoring a lot of points. Unfortunately, they're conceding a bit too many
as well. I was going
to say,
they need to get the tackle bags out, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, of all 6 games, they've had a chance of winning all 6, but they've only won 1 of them. You know, so they went to lose at the weekend, lost by 36-28. So they didn't make it easy for the home side.
No.
But that French side, they do have some class players. Mark Carella and Otis back from injury and being amongst the points again.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Right, let's dip our toes into League One, shall we, as it gets up and running. And Toronto finally playing a League One game, coming up with a win.
Yeah, they played 2 now, haven't they? So in the first weekend, they went over to London Scholars, won by 76-0. Highlight there being Craig Hall, 32 points he scored in total in that one. 2 tries, 12 goals. And there was a hat-trick there from guess who?
Who?
Fui Moi.
No way.
Charging through.
Right.
I've seen some of the highlights. It's a joy seeing him charging through a defence. It's still a joy.
Oh, it's going to be a tougher task at Whitehaven, so they'll be relieved to come away with a 24-10 win there in round 2.
Yeah, it's always a difficult place to go because they make it so inhospitable for you, don't they, when you go up there. I mean, lovely people before the start of a game and after the game, but during that 80 minutes, blimey, you don't want to be there, really.
No.
It's the last place on earth, and especially under the mud and the wet conditions of that game was played under. So for them to win by 24-10 is a notable scalp for them, to be honest. But it's not my pick of the week.
Okay.
The pick of the week for me from League One is Gloucestershire All Golds. I think they've done absolutely some superb stuff since they've started up again this season. They beat Keighley, they hosted Keighley at the weekend, beat them by 46-22.
Wow.
There was a couple of tries there for Steve Parry. And guess this, Mo Ogoro, who spent time with both Oldham and Hunslet,
yes,
he went
he
over
did.
For 4 tries. Real athletic finishes in there as well. He's always been a player that hasn't, I'm sure he won't mind me saying this, hasn't really fulfilled his potential, but maybe, just maybe, this move to the Gloucestershire All Golds is what it counts, and we'll start seeing a lot more of him.
Good action, good results. Shame about the attendance.
Yeah, but you can't have everything, can you?
No.
And I'm sure that they are a club that's still in transition, but the stuff that they've done so far this season, and also I notice a couple of other journalists being very complimentary of some of the media work that they're putting out there as well. So they're certainly trying to raise the bar and get more people interested, and I wish them the best of luck because they've made one heck of a start to the new year.
few close results in round two of the League One as well. Newcastle Thunder just about a shade against London Scorers, 24-22. And York City Knights pushed all the way by South Wales Iron Men, 26-24.
Yeah,
sounds like the Iron Men have really got some quality players in their squad.
Yeah, just a quick word on the Iron Men, because yeah, they have had quite an influx of players and a change around. But they're a team that's still in transition, but they've gone a lot better so far this season. They went down very narrowly as well the previous week to Whitehaven, where it took a late scoring burst for them to win by 27 points to 10, and they were just squeezed out there at York City Knights, 26-24.
So we don't miss anybody out. There was a big win for Huntsford against Hemel Stags, 58-10. Workington defeated York Oxford. They say York then. Oxford, 20 points to 6. And Doncaster were too strong for North Wales Crusaders, 44-8. Also Barrow coming in with another half century against Coventry.
Yeah, they've made a really good start to the season of Barrow, because they beat in week one York by 28 points to nil. So they're certainly starting to take a little bit of shape, isn't it, of who we're expecting. So although we're being very, very much behind the Gloucestershire Old Golds at this stage of the season, there is all to play for, and there's some really good games that are taking place at that level.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Everybody's been lording it up, haven't they? Drooling. Wanting more. Want more.
What are you talking about?
Castleford Tigers.
Oh.
We want more. We could have it 7 days a week.
I thought that you was going to be talking about the pies in the press room.
Oh, no, that's at Wigan. That's just at Wigan.
Right, okay. So we're actually talking Castleford Tigers now for this segment.
Want more. We want more.
They were fantastic at the weekend.
Please, more. Standing ovation.
Absolutely brilliant. And it was wet conditions at Widnes as well, wasn't it? And they're flinging the ball about and getting great finishes. Dive over in the corner.
How many points has he scored now in three matches? Is it over 100 odd?
Yeah, just have a quick look.
30 against Warrington, 60 against Leeds, 38 against Widnes.
They've scored 174 points, Adrian, in the first four rounds of Super League. Only conceding 48 with a point difference of 126.
That is a lot of action.
It is. I think before this game that they played against against Widnes at the weekend, they actually had scored 25 tries as well. So real heavy point scorers. Really, really good to watch as well. I mean, for a time when you'd be expecting teams to be, grunting things through the middle and holding play tight and just concentrating the middle channels, they're flinging it out wide and really taking advantage.
It's great to watch, isn't it? Not as an opposition fan or a coach, but it's fantastic to watch.
But I mean, some of the periods of play, I mean, they played Widnes and beat them 34 points to nil at the weekend, and some of those periods of play had all the Widnes fans on the feet in front of us, didn't they, where we were sitting in the press benches.
Bravo, yeah.
They wanted more standing ovation, but obviously they didn't want to have scored against the team. Could they have done it at half time or something? I don't know, but yeah, very, very good to watch. And Luke Gale in the middle of that field has been tremendous. In the game that we saw, they had Roberts coming back from injury, didn't they, and he looked like he'd never been away. And the big fellas, you got like so your Junior Moores and etc.
Minikin as well on the fringes.
Oh yeah, Minikin's running in the tries, isn't he? And Greg Eden,
Denny who?
Exactly.
Denny who?
Don't mention it. I said not to mention it. You'll upset these Cast fans.
Listen, they're on the crest of a wave. They're enjoying the class of 2017. Okay, only four games in. Nothing's won at this stage in the season, but can Castleford do it? That's what we want to know.
I would like to think that they can, and I think it all comes down to keeping hold of Darryl Powell. I think I've been knocking on his door saying, Darryl, come and sign this new contract. We'll stick a couple of zeros on your wages.
A lot of it's down to the form of the play as well, and I think Luke Gale's having an outstanding start to the season. Let's hear from him right now. Luke Gale, after a slow start today, Castleford really put Widnes to the sword.
Yeah, a real slow start. We knew they'd come, all guns blazing. Obviously, we're a bit of a scout now. Obviously, we started real well. Teams are going to come after us, and we started poor, to be honest. But first time we can say it in a long time, really. Well, a couple of years, but our D were outstanding, really. I think our D got us out of it. Real poor with ball to start with, but a couple of good sets in D, and it lifts your spirits. So we slowly got us way there. A couple of tries from Benny Roberts' break, just freakish tries really, and then we got into the swing of it.
Mentioned the defence, and Widnes had a couple of opportunities, but you got the numbers in there to get them over the dead ball line that one time.
Yeah, mate, as the first 20 minutes throughout the game really, his D was outstanding. It's probably won us the game, to be honest.
Scored some tries as well, some real classy finishes.
Yeah, it's this team never ceases to amaze me. They just they come from everywhere, whatever edge, whatever side, whatever player. They just both our wingers are scoring it. I think that I don't know how many. I think they've got 8 apiece now in 4 games. So yeah, we've got a fair bit of strike.
Someone just mentioned to me after the game, that's the first time in 8 years Castleford have nailed the team, so things going to plan.
Yeah, like I alluded to at start, RD's was outstanding, and the pleasing factor is a zero. I reckon that's what we'll get out of this game, the zero.
What do you make of Widnes today though?
Possibly, I thought they started well, maybe struggled in areas, and I think we're just an hard team to defend, to be honest. It's not just Widnes. We've just put 60 on Leeds. We beat Warrington. So you can't really look at Warrington. I just think we're on fire at the minute.
Certainly are on the roll. And the fans came over in numbers to support you as well.
Fans are unbelievable, mate. Just after the game there, before the game, they're getting behind like they always do. And it's the boys really do appreciate it.
Are you quite happy with your form?
Yeah, definitely. I just seem to just do my job and everything falls into place. We've got teeing up some, obviously, Zach and people like that. My job's pretty easy at the minute. So I think Millington's been outstanding. Millington Junior Moore, I think they're probably best props in comp for me. They're outstanding, so my job's easy at the minute.
But rugby needs to be played, but you're our top. Can you stay there?
It's what round we're on now. Round four. It's early days, mate, but we definitely want to. We aim to stay there.
He aimed to stay there is what he meant to say. We just edited that a little bit out.
No, he said that. He did say that.
Yeah, Castleford top of the shop at round four. But who'd have thought Warrington would be bottom of the pile after round four?
Yeah. But they're just not getting it together, are they? But I just want to just mention Cass again there, and particularly that fella, Luke Gale. He kicked his 1,500th point of his career, so he's now on 1,502 points as well overall. And again, it was just a tremendous performance that. But yeah, getting back onto Warrington. You know what I think the problem is?
What's that?
The pack.
The pack. They lost a four battle against Wigan.
The pack just didn't make enough yards, full stop. I actually started the game after we'd watched it on the Thursday.
Right.
And they played with 9 forwards in total, did Warrington. 7 of those forwards only ran in for 296 metres. Now, you're looking at your pack to really set the goal forward. And I'll just compare this with what the Wigan pack ran for, which was almost 800 metres. So that says that there's some guys that weren't really going forward. And I actually thought that the two starting props were awful.
Ashton Sims was running sideways for half of the game.
Yeah. I thought the two starting...
I'm backwards.
The two starting props were awful. Ashton Sims just seemed to want to play halfback and get the offload game going. But he hadn't actually set a platform for anybody. All I will say is thank goodness that they had both Jack Hughes and Daryl Clark playing, because otherwise it would have been totally embarrassing.
Yeah, Warrington with the same talent as the bottom three of Super League. Radio Merseyside listeners won't be liking that stat, will they?
Definitely not, no. But again, I don't want to decry too much from Wigan's performance. I thought in the first half particularly, they were on fire. And although it may have been a quiet start from George Williams, I think his coach didn't really rate the start that he made. I actually thought he was world class for about 25 minutes, half an hour of that game.
Yeah, I think that's the key for him. He's got to do it more consistently. I think that's the message Sean Wayne wants to get across to him.
Yeah, you're probably right there. And it is all about that level of consistency, isn't it? That everybody's hoping to attain. But he's such an exciting player. And what about this? You know, when they lose players to injury, like your Burgess and Oliver Gildart didn't play, and they end up slotting guys in like Liam Marshall.
For Marshall, who comes up with 4 tries.
Brilliant. What a night. And he looks like he's played 100 first team games, doesn't he?
It was a weird game, though, wasn't it? Because with all the injuries Wigan had had going into that game, everyone thought this would be the game that Warrington would relish and get that first win, but it just never happened for the Primrose and Blue.
Yeah, it went wrong from the first minute, really. Really, didn't it?
Yeah.
I think Jack Hughes dropped the second tackle and that was it, right, really. They were on the back foot and Wigan were able to compose and really get themselves forward. And to be fair, it was looking at one stage like it was going to be very embarrassing before we had that little bit of a respite where Warrington came back into it a little bit.
Let's hear from George Williams, shall we? George Williams of Knights go. Couldn't have been a better night for Wigan tonight.
No, very good. Very pleasing. I know we conceded, I think it was 16 points, but Warrington are a great side, and I think if someone had told us that result at the start of the game, we'd have snatched hand off. So happy days.
Certainly a dominant performance, certainly in the first half.
Yeah, very good. I think we were a bit disappointed with they scored with a minute to go, and we thought if they hadn't scored that, the Reds have been gone a little bit. But credit to Warrington, they're at champion side, and they came back all the way.
I suppose the key in the second half was for Warrington to try and score first, so it must have been comforting for you guys to score that first try in the second half.
Yeah, we spoke at half time that they're going to come out firing, and I think they did that, but luckily, like you said, we got over first, and I think that's when the Reds went a little bit and knew it was a long way back. So, pleasing performance, and I made up for Liam Marshall scoring four tries on his second game. That's some effort.
Some effort, and some well-taken tries out there as well, other than just Liam Marshall.
Yeah, very good. I think we were quite pleased with our attack. We weren't too side to side. I think we earned the right through the middle and then scored some nice points.
Yeah, a nice variation as well. Kept the Warrington defence guessing all night.
Yeah, and credit to our middles. Even though they was ramping up, they had, like you said, little variations between themselves, not even between me and Thomas, so it was very good.
The park for Wigan really dominated the play. That made life easy for you and Thomas to direct the play.
Yeah, it made it a lot easier. The middles earned the right, and I think I'm just happy with this, and I think I'll go home, watch it with takeaway and be very pleased.
Good save. Normally Warrington Wigan games are close from the first, so to win so convincing, that just shows you how well you played tonight.
Yeah, it did, yeah, but it was still tiring, it was still a tough game, and sometimes the scoreline don't reflect the game, and we'll still be sore tomorrow, even though it was quite a convincing one.
How did you feel you went during the 80 minutes?
I did alright. I think I can still build. But yeah, pretty pleasing. I threw a few dodgy balls, but I'm pretty pleased, and just got to keep on top of it now.
These youngsters at Wigan just seem to be rolling out and just stepping as if they've never been out of place.
Yeah, we've got some real good talent, and there's still a lot more to come through, so it's very pleasing, and I feel like one of the older ones now, and I'm only 22, so it's quite weird. So yeah, we've got a good production line, and like I say, you'll see more in a few years.
Good start to the season. You happy how things are going?
Yeah, well, 5 from 5, including the World Cup Challenge, so not much more could be better at the moment, but we've still got a lot to improve on, and I think 16 points is too much if we want to be involved in massive games.
Great. Go and have a beer if you're enjoying it so much then. Oh, you can't do that anymore, can you?
No, but...
frowned upon.
How good is it to hear
from George? I'll have a beer for him then.
How good is it to hear from George Williams, though?
22, and he feels one of the oldest ones in the team.
That's scary. That maybe tells you just what they've got coming through at Wigan, doesn't it? He's one of the oldest in the team, you know. They've got some real talent coming through, haven't they? Some young players.
If you can't have a beer, have a pie to celebrate. I'm sure they do that in Wigan, don't they?
I'm sure they do.
Listen, you were telling me they have it with soup in Lee.
Yeah, that was my grandma's favourite recipe, that, every Saturday.
Did you have that on Friday after nil in Huddersfield?
No. I just went home and had a pan of lobby.
Sounds nice.
It was. It was glorious, especially as it had been on the slow cooker for most of the day.
Listen, Lee might have got the game won, but Rick Stone was moaning about the state of the pitch.
Well, he sort of made a comment that it was very, very slippy out there.
It's raining, what's he expect?
But yeah, it was the same for both.
Come on, Rick, get with it.
It was the same for both sides. Now, I thought that, again, the main problem was that Huddersfield couldn't get forward. The Lee forwards just tated them, to be fair.
Listen, they need to bring back Earl Crabtree then, don't they? They can't go forward.
Their forwards made 500 metres, Lee's forwards made over 800 metres. So that tells you the huge difference between the two sides,
Earl,
there, doesn't it?
Come on, Earl, come out of retirement.
I'm not sure whether he fancies it these days. Probably he would do, wouldn't he, in fairness. But it was one of those strange game, really, because I remember at half time actually saying that there was very little skill that I was involved within the game. I think Lee were leading 12 points to nil, but there have been a lot of mistakes, a lot of handling errors, very scrappy. And then second half, Lee turned it round in the last 20 minutes. They brought Mickey Hyam back on, and I think they went something like 12 or 15 sets where they didn't drop the ball. And
Mickey's like a man possessed at the moment.
He is. He's fantastic. I'm wondering if we can do a Dolly the Sheep with him, to be honest, so that they can carry on and clone him somehow.
I'm sure he'll be relishing the game on in the next round against Warrington.
Yeah, and it's another one of his former clubs, isn't it? Yeah. So he always likes coming up against a former club. And yeah, the way that he's going, I mean, he's 36 now, isn't he? You know, but he's running around like a two-year-old. Again, he's a driving force for the Centurions, who finished the game against Huddersfield particularly strongly with two tries in the last 10 minutes.
Other wins in Super League for Wakefield, who got a close run thing against Salford Red Devils, winning in the last moments 24-22. Hull FC defeated St Helens. They weren't convincing, but they got the job done 24-14. Plenty of talking points in that game as well, wasn't there? Leeds coming up with a surprising thumping against the Catalan Dragons, winning them 46-10. And we've already mentioned wins for Lee at Castleford and Wigan.
I think that the pressure's building on Kieran Cunningham. Definitely. I mean, losing again, I know it was a bit of a funny thing. It could have gone either way, couldn't it, into the last 10 minutes
of that
game.
I didn't think there was anything in the penalty try. I thought that was just a bit of an overreaction from Hull players.
But, you know, it happens. It's on the board and yeah. You've just got to accept it, haven't you, when all's said and done. And
well, not really, but yeah, I know what you mean.
No, you have. You've just got to accept it. Well, it's all right, everybody saying, oh yeah, let's get video refs at every game. That is going to cost a whole heap. Are you going to then turn around to the clubs and say, right, that's it, we'll take 200 grand off you then, we can fit all your stadiums.
You see, the incident I'm on about is when Wormsy slid in. Now, we see that every match, near enough. So are we going to start giving penalty tries for every incident like that?
But I'm also thinking about what Ian Watson and Chris Chester have said, because there was dodgy tries aplenty in that game between Salford and Wakefield, right, okay. And one chalked off as well. Yeah. So they were calling for video refs at every game, which I know is something that you're quite keen on,
you can't just have them on one game. You've got to have them at all.
But as I say, if Super League clubs are then willing to pay for that by having a deduction of something like 100 grand from the monies, or 200 grand from the monies that they get, then I'm all for it then in that case. But I just don't think they're going to agree to it, have they?
They're not, are they?
No, it comes down to pounds, shillings and pence again, doesn't it, with the rugby league clubs?
Yeah, without a doubt. So at least Centurions look like they're going to be a real handful at home.
Yeah, I think it is sort of working.
Wins against Huddersfield and St Helens.
Very narrow losers against Leeds as well. Yeah. And again, just a special mention for Leeds, because, you know, they take a thumping against Castleford and then distribute one of their own against Catalans Dragons. So, you know, a great result for them, and they look to be on the climb again. In fact, looking at the table, although we're in sort of at the early stages of the season, they've managed to climb their way up into fourth position.
Let's hear from New Dukes after the hot Leeds win against Huddersfield.
I was pretty pleased with our defence last week, to be fair, so we just needed to, you know, probably improve some little things, but nothing major. You know, I think for the amount of ball we put down. So, and we backed it up again this week and improved probably certainly structurally on our edges there. We previewed a lot of what they're going to throw at us, and with that we needed to be aggressive as well. You know, Ike Hefo, I thought, you know, he's a real good go forward. Rapira, we spoke about them, but again, some big powerful boys, but had some good line speed, some good contact within that as well as being on our toes when we needed to be. And come up with some really big players defensively, big ditch efforts there to keep them from getting the ball down, and obviously in our attacks, just, you know, stop start really for 55-60 minutes. Brought Mickey on and just asked him to get hold of the game by the scruff of the neck, and we do 12 sets in a row, and if we're not scoring, we're putting them in corners, and disciplined on the back of it, we made the game look very easy. So yeah, really pleased, you know, certainly with a 2-13-0 before the game. It's great desire, you know, great desire, and you get to your fourth or fifth set, then all of a sudden you're kind of thinking in review tomorrow, if they concede one, Luke, we can't keep defending for this. You know, as much as we practice try line three, try line D, you're always going to eventually get a try, because if it's not, it's poor attack. So I'm not sure what Rick said about his attack, but we had to be on the money, you know what I mean? And as I said, we've done a lot of work this week, as we do any week, but taking away the technicalities of what were the decisions, we had to have some real good contact on some big boys as well, and again, I thought we'd done that. To actually, you know, get an outcome of a 13-0 scoreline against a side when, you know, when you look at it, you know, McGilvery and Cudjoe, Kumatai, Rapira, you know, Inchcliffe, the team full of proven Super League NRL players, current internationals, and for our guys to stick at it, that's what encourages your culture, I suppose, to stay at it and work out for one another. And we're a real close group, and I watched us warming up, and I could sense tonight there was something going to be special, but we had to work hard for it. It was never going to be a gimme, and the guys, as I said to Amanda, done that. You know, Danny Tickle's birthday today, I thought he was probably a country mile man at match for me. Took a late one really early on, which I thought he obviously, I think, gave a foul, but it was a real tough one. Not many would have got up, but he's playing a little bit out of position. He's not played that back row for a while now, but he were brilliant, and it epitomised, you know, what our team's about, just getting on with your job no matter where you are.
Did you cover your half backs last week here? Do you feel you got more out of them tonight?
Yeah, I think we did, you know, but again, you know, I suppose you call your spine, we're riding in there as well. Just to summarise what I say, you know, we don't make a touch on a kick, then we kick one out top full from kickoff. Then we go for a dropout, which weren't that keen, you know, it's not something we spoke about, and then we don't get it. So they're getting better without a doubt, you know, and the Super League will help with that, and we've got a young one in Ben Reynolds, who's definitely one for the future as well, and Martin Ridyard's obviously knocking on the door as well. Riddy's working really, really hard. He's in an unfortunate position. He's let find himself in, but been brilliant again this week. Took some new Zed over playing, but added to what's been a really good week. And Josh Drinkwater has done it again, certainly like last year in the middle eight. So it's like everything else. You know, the more time they play together, then the better they'll get. We had to mix it about a bit today, putting Ryan in. Obviously, we're losing Willie Tonga, so a little bit of a change about, but yeah, nothing too drastic.
And they nailed Huddersfield.
I think it's a great result, that, and
Robbie's
really
all round.
Really says something, doesn't it, about the ethos that is being built there at Lee? And I just think, well, if you can go from being nilled one week to nilling a team the following week,
yeah,
you've really hit your form, haven't you?
You're still just a small town in Wigan, though.
Hey, cheeky so-and-so.
It's true.
How dare you?
Listen, if Castleford fans can sing at Widnes, it's just a small town in Wakefield. Same applies for Lee.
Well, okay, I suppose. I might let you off, but I'll find some way of getting me home back here, Adrian Jackson.
Let's stick with Wigan, shall we? Let's hear from Sean Wayne.
Well, Sean, job done. More so in that first half, 20 points, and I know you'll be saying that try that gave him a slight glimmer, making it 24 at half time.
Yeah, the try before half time doubted hurt us. But we had a good chat at half time, and we knew what Warrington, the manner they come out in the second half, and I thought we handled that really well. I thought our end of sets were good. But I know we can improve on certain things within where we attack and the way we defend. So we'll get players back, we'll improve. But very happy to get the 2 points. I understand we're not going to be raving about a fantastic win and where we are at the minute. We know we need to improve. Warrington will get better. We'll have a sticky part of this season, so we're not going to get out above ourselves.
But having said that, and given the circumstances with the injuries and everything, it was a very good team performance.
Yeah, great. I'm good for the young kids what's come through and the way they performed. I thought Liam Marshall, the way he finished the tries was unbelievable. Real good finishes. So a lot to be very proud of. A lot is always what we're going to work on, and we'll have, you know, give the players a break, and we'll have a good 9 days before we play Huddersfield. You know, but then we go again. You know, we have a certain standards and how we attack and how we defend, and we need to meet them every week.
Whatever happens now, you're top of the league until at least Sunday, even though it is early days.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't even look at that. I just want us to perform against Huddersfield in 9 days, and I'll be working hard. I'll go and watch Huddersfield tomorrow and making sure that our performance is good.
He's good to his word. He did go and watch Lee in Huddersfield. He liked the fact they got a 9 day turnaround.
He did, yeah. He was in front of me actually in the queue for the tickets at Lee Sports Village, so I had a quick little mention to him myself and just said, oh, well played though.
Enjoy your 9 days off.
9 days off, yeah. Not everybody gets 9 day turnarounds, do they, these days?
No. Dennis Betts would love 9 days off. It's always more than about short turnarounds.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this is why we play so many games on sort of Thursdays and Friday nights these days, isn't it?
Listen, everyone loves more of Castleford. Let's hear from more of Castleford. Let's hear from Darryl Powell.
I think defensively it was really impressive. Obviously, we started the game with an error, and then they had significant amount of ball on our try line. We had to work really hard to keep them out, and then we spoke at half time about keeping the nil. I thought our defence in the second half was outstanding. We restricted Widnes to their own half consistently, and oh, that's the most pleasing thing. I thought some world class pieces of skill out there, but we'd probably say collectively it wasn't our best attacking performance, but Widnes did certain things that nullified our threat, and we were a little bit scratchy, but overall just absolutely delighted. It's, you know, I looked at after the first 20 minutes we were we'd been under a lot of pressure, and our bench came on and did an awesome job for us again, and then we were just too good. I thought some of our ability to switch defence to attack was exceptional, and that's a big win for us.
You've already mentioned a couple of new forwards, Darryl, but I thought collectively they really got to it.
Yeah, we couldn't quite get going at the start. You know, when you're in a hole like we were at the start, you tend to end up being one out, and that happened to us a little bit. Our backfield boys ended up getting us out of a lot of trouble. But yeah, in the second half, they were making a fair few errors because our defensive intent was great, and our middle were just great. Yeah, there's a lot of ability in there, particularly when you've got Millington and Moores out there. Just their ability to use the ball, the creativity that they've got with McShane at nine, just gives us a little bit of a different look to when Adam Milner's there. So just our ability to play different ways is really paying dividends for us at the moment.
And is that the pleasing thing, mate? You're so adaptable.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's it's one of the beauties of this team. I think we could play three or four different ways, depending on who was at half back, who was at nine, who was at full back potentially. You know, Zach's been fantastic for us since he came in, but Benny Roberts can play there and Greg Eden can play there, and there's a slightly different look when either of them do. So I think this team's a really interesting one to coach and to look at the different variables within there. So it's going to be an interesting season, I think.
Your local hospital radio.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.